This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com. You are about to listen to the Dr. Dahlia Show. Sassy, stimulating medical talk radio. Any medical advice Dr. Dahlia Wax gives on her show should not be substituted for an actual visit to your medical provider. And now, here's Dr. Dahlia.
Doctor, give me the news. I got a bad case of loving you.
All right, guys. We are back on Dr. Dahlia Show. Thank you all for tuning in. 1-877-DOC-DALI. 1-877-DOC-DALI. So I believe there was a Gallup poll. I think it was Gallup poll that had looked at Americans' attitudes towards the vaccination process and if they were satisfied or dissatisfied. And apparently 66% of those who responded to this Gallup poll were dissatisfied with the whole vaccination rollout, vaccination process, cold chain, mishaps, needing to throw out the vaccines. I believe there was a small percentage that was extremely dissatisfied. I think 21% of Americans were very dissatisfied. Now, you know, keep in mind, right, this is kind of a grumpy week because we got Valentine's. It's not really an easy week for anybody. I had a lot of stress, a lot of anxiety. Somebody messes up Valentine's there in the doghouse. So it's not, and people aren't going to be happy. But apparently this poll was done right after President Biden's inauguration. And they wanted to, I guess, take the temperature of how people were happy with government's, you know, rollout with this. And first, I want to just tell everybody to chill. I think we've vaccinated about 10% of our population. And doing that within 6 weeks, when the vaccine had to be created, right, tested, then manufactured, then distributed, kept cold, and we had to utilize people who were already working overtime during the pandemic, I'm sorry, but I think the glass is half full, and I think those involved have done one heck of a job. I am extremely impressed with our health districts, with our first responders, and I think we need to be really, really careful coming up with polls of people being upset or dissatisfied. And now, I don't know. I don't know why the poll was done. Is it because they wanted to highlight people's attitudes towards the Trump administration? Were they trying to, you know, take a look at how people feel and what Biden needs to do to step it up? I don't know. But I think the biggest mistake that happened in any of this was politics got involved. All right. President Trump felt compelled to say, we're going to vaccinate 20 million people by the end of the year. He should have never said that. Same thing with Joe Biden, saying we are going to vaccinate 100 million in 100 days. Stop it with the politics. I think both presidents are falling into a trap. We're dealing with nature. We're dealing with an infectious disease. And once I see a politician try to take a role that they can supersede that and they could control that, they're almost bound to fail. Meanwhile, I think Operation Warp Speed, mind you, stupid name, but I get it, Star Trek, I get it, you know. Warp Speed's cool in Star Trek. I don't think it's very cool with the vaccine. I think that was very poorly named. But mind you, what happened last year with Operation Warp Speed was really short of a miracle. And fine, nobody wants to give Trump credit. Nobody wants to give Biden credit. I don't care about politicians. What I care about is the people who are now on the streets trying to vaccinate, trying to get, you know, people free from the virus, trying to reach herd immunity, is hearing all this baloney, this bullcrap on, oh, well, you know, Americans are dissatisfied and we failed and no, we didn't fail, okay? Considering our country is so big, so vast, this virus is so wily. We're dealing with multiple strains. It takes a while to make mRNA. Right? You need glass vials. You need those stoppers. You need syringes. You need, you know, refrigerators or, I'm sorry, freezers that go down to negative 74 degrees. This was a monstrous feat. And the problem is we keep seeing politicians say, we're going to do this, we're promising this, because they need those sound bites. They need those numbers. When they campaign, they need to have these bullet points saying, we brought in this many vaccines. We vaccinated this many on this many days. First of all, I'm sorry, President Trump and President Biden, okay? You weren't the ones personally vaccinating. It was the healthcare workers. It was the health districts. You, where you get credit is allowing us to get the supply, funding, picking the right vaccines first. I mean, I agree with what the Trump administration did in terms of not just buying Pfizer vaccines. I love the fact that they bought some Pfizer, bought some AstraZeneca, bought some. You have to hedge because you didn't know who was going to make it past the summer, past the new year, to be able to have vaccines. You also don't know what's happening in their, you know, in their distributing centers or their labs. There could be some right now. What, there's a earthquake off of New Zealand. There's obviously there's things that you have to anticipate, so you need to hedge. So I think what should a good leader be doing? A good leader should be not thinking about their election or their re-election, and they shouldn't be putting false hope into people's hearts that we're going to have a third of us vaccinated by, we might, but that's not what people care about. People care about truth. They care about transparency. They care about if they've been lied to, if there's been a bunch of hype. That's what people care about. So any president in the past or present or future needs to really take politics out of public health. I've been saying this from day one. But unfortunately, people were going to use the pandemic against President Trump. People are going to use the pandemic against Joe Biden. So it's all about the sound bites. It's all about the promises. It's all about the goals. Meanwhile, those people who have been busting their butts trying to get the vaccine out and trying to vaccinate people, mind you, putting their lives at risk, are feeling a little unappreciated right now. So I say calm down on the polls on who's dissatisfied, because I don't really give a heart and deuce. 1-877-DOC-DOLLY, don't go away.
Hey guys, gals, Dr. Dahlia here. How many of you have just become single and it's been years since you've dated? Well, you need to be careful out there, as there's a lot of pitfalls and scams. But there's also true love. So I recommend reading our Baby Boomer's Guide to Online Dating. We'll give you the scoop on scammers, STDs, and what makes the best first date. Go to my website at drdahlia.com and click on the Baby Boomer's Guide to Online Dating. That's drdahlia.com. Hey guys, Dr. Dahlia here. We love our drivers out there, and many of you are in need of renewing your CDL. Well, if you're in Southern Nevada, we've got the place for you. Your DOT physical can be done by calling 702-562-8800 and mention this ad. You'll get a discount. Easy, convenient hours to get you back on the road. So for your CDL DOT physical, call 702-562-8800 and drive safe.
Attention business owners body slammed by overwhelming debt. If your business is in trouble, hassled by creditors, if you're frustrated, finally fed up with big business bailouts while your business has been left for dead, please listen close. There's a brand new fast-track bankruptcy. Some have even called it the biggest small business bailout in American history. Designed for individuals and their businesses. And look, almost no one knows about this yet. My attorney wasn't even aware of it. The truth is, beating the system has never been easy, because it's rigged in a sense against the little guy. But here's the jaw-dropping news nobody's talking about. They've literally just changed the system so that you can beat it, but only if you understand how the new game has to be played. Find out if you qualify at pocketsoflight.com. This government-backed small business repair program is still legal, but may not be renewed after the election. Fight back fairly, fight back ethically at pocketsoflight.com.
If you're trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252.
There's so much hand sanitizer on the market, but beware. Not all hand sanitizers are created equal. That's why you want to use 2020 Safe Hand Sanitizer. You can trust the hand sanitizer on 2020safe.net to be made with the highest quality ingredients. American made with American ingredients employing Americans. Log on now to 2020safe.net and order your 1 liter today. Normally $29.99, but reduced to $19.99. So hurry while supplies last and receive a bonus. That's right. You'll receive a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster, a $39.95 value, free, by using code GCN at checkout. Right now, click 2020safe.net. That's 2020safe.net to get our 1 liter bottle of high-quality hand sanitizer with your free bonus, a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster valued at $39.95. Remember to enter GCN at checkout, and the bonus is yours, free, 2020safe.net.
Trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors. Past results do not guarantee future performance.
Want to dominate the stock market in 2021? Looking for higher profit potential? With the COVID vaccines, a shifting political landscape, and a new year, it's virtually impossible to guess what will happen next. With Vantage Point, you don't have to. Text MONEY to 411-411 to find out how our technology can forecast market trends up to 3 days in advance with incredible accuracy. Text MONEY to 411-411 to find explosive moves before they happen. Vantage Point's patented technology analyzes huge quantities of global data in seconds. Text MONEY to 411-411 to find out how. Make 2021 your year. Start predicting trends 72 hours in advance and maximize your gains. Text MONEY to 411-411 and experience Vantage Point for free. Protect and grow your capital now. Don't wait. Text MONEY to 411-411.
Go to VantagePointSoftware.com for terms, conditions, and privacy policy.
And we are back on the Dr. Dahlia Show, 1-877-DOC-DALI, 1-877-DOC-DALI. Big thanks to Genesis Communications Network for making the show happen. Big thanks to Daniel for working the dials. And big thanks to y'all for tuning in. We really do appreciate it. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Dr. Dahlia and on Facebook, the Dr. Dahlia Show. So after today's show, I'm going to donate blood. Not only can my blood be used for people who have cancer, in car accidents, for people fighting COVID, but we have a huge population that suffers from sickle cell, and they need regular blood transfusions. Now, here to talk to us about sickle cell disease and how the COVID-19 pandemic affected them is Lakeisha Dickerson, sickle cell disease patient as well as family nurse practitioner, and Dr. Bree Andamariam, CMO of the SCDAA and family director of NESCI at UC Con, which we'll discuss. Thank you both so much for being on the show.
Thank you for having us.
Wow. All right. So, Lakeisha, you have been dealing with sickle cell. Tell us a little bit about your journey.
The to begin with, I was diagnosed with sickle cell disease at 11 months of age. My mother said I kept having high fevers. Her and my dad kept bringing me to the doctor. And we finally were referred to a specialist in a bigger city. I'm from a small town in Louisiana. And I received my diagnosis. Since then, my parents have always pushed me to be a normal child and do things that all the other kids can do. I do tire out easily. And coming up, I felt myself explaining myself to my peers. I have sickle cell. It's not contagious. You can't catch it. But it's why I tire out easily. Eventually, I just became introverted about it and didn't say anything because I was afraid of judgment or discrimination.
Oh, I bet. I bet. What sort of treatment or how often do you need transfusions in order to maintain your blood cells?
Well, I used to get a lot of transfusions when I was younger. As I got older, because of the treatment algorithms for sickle cell, we don't transfuse as much as used to in old medicine because now we found out that it causes iron overload in your liver. And that's something, another issue that you would have to deal with. So they only transfuse when your blood count is extremely low. My last transfusion was 12 years ago when I had my daughter.
Okay, man. Well, thank God. Thank God. I'm glad you're doing well. And I want to discuss also your training because you went, you know, you became a nurse practitioner. That's not easy to do, you know, not being tired. Dr. Baree and Amariam, tell us about the SCDAA and the NESCI.
Sure, absolutely. So I had the pleasure of being the immediate past chief medical officer of the Sickle Cell Disease Association of America. It's the largest and oldest advocacy organization for sickle cell disease in the United States. It is headquartered in Baltimore, but there are member organizations in over 35 states across the country that helps people on the ground get the information and the resources they need if they're affected by sickle cell. The New England Sickle Cell Institute is a sickle cell center for adults that I founded in 2009 at the University of Connecticut. Individuals with sickle cell have had a hard time finding specialists who know how to take care of them and can give compassionate care. And this is especially true for adults affected by the condition. So I felt like it was really important for me to start a new center for adults with sickle cell in my state.
So fantastic. And, you know, being a founder of an organization such as that is definitely not easy, especially with you being a physician and all you do. So we're grateful. So, you know, when we discuss COVID and it's Black History Month, we have highlighted that there's a lot of disparities between the African-American communities and other communities when it comes to COVID-19 morbidity. Either one of you could take this next question. How much has sickle cell played a role in those, in that?
Well, I can take that. I mean, I think we... You know, what we want to get across today is there's a lot of hope in sickle cell disease. There are a lot of new treatment options that are improving the anemia, so people like Lakeisha aren't as burdened by the fatigue or needing transfusions periodically. And there are treatments out there that help prevent the severe pain episodes that really impact quality of life. But I think that some of the disparities that have existed in the sickle cell community are now being, you know, talked about more and how they've impacted the Black community. And I think the larger American community just really turned a blind eye to it. The COVID-19 pandemic has really heightened the health disparities that exist for Black Americans, and especially those with sickle cell disease. Both groups are at increased risk for severe illness from COVID-19 infection, increased risk of death. And when you talk about people with sickle cell disease, because of their underlying condition, they require frequent contact with the health system to manage their pain, to get transfusions, to treat their anemia, and other, you know, to prevent other complications. And the pandemic has posed unique challenges for them in being able to safely get the face-to-face treatment they need. Thank God for telemedicine, but we know that there are certain communities, particularly communities of color, where even telemedicine is not a viable option if they don't have good cell coverage, enough minutes on their phone, or consistent Wi-Fi.
And, you know, being a telemedicine physician myself, you know, we do want to check the blood. We do want to check their oxygenation. We do need to, you know, right. We do need to intervene in person. You know, Lakeisha, you having had sickle cell, what are some of your current symptoms? It sounds like you've been able to maintain, you know, keep it in control, but what are some things that you deal with on more often than others?
Definitely joint aches and pains. I will get joint aches if I am stressed out or my anxiety level is a little high. I will get little focal crises where I'll just start having pains in one area of my body, like my hand or my wrist. And I know I need to calm down. I need to make sure I'm hydrating. My body definitely has a way of reminding me that, hey, you have sickle cell. You can't do all that. And you're over 35. So I definitely slow down. I'll take ibuprofen. I usually take glucosamine and chondroitin for my joints. Recently, I've been working back at the bedside on the front line with the COVID-19 shortage in Texas. And those 12-hour shifts have definitely took a toll on my body between my hips. I have avascular necrosis, a complication from sickle cell that causes holes in your joints. And so I'm starting to feel that now. And I have to take extra special precaution, maybe take, you know, a few little Tylenol before I go to work or make sure I'm taking my vitamins and my supplements. And also I'm on one of the newer sickle cell treatment medications that I take that help with the fatigue as well.
Fantastic. And we've spoken about sickle cell before on my show, but for my listeners joining us, sickle cell anemia is where the blood cells are not the, you know, not always all the time those nice round donuts. Sometimes they will sickle and crease and almost look like little crescent shapes. And when they take that form, they don't have the diameter or the volume to supply more oxygen. So you get these crises, as Lakeisha had pointed out. And because it's inherited, Lakeisha, have you had genetic counseling on, you know, having a partner and then giving birth? I mean, did you have to go through genetic counseling when it came to your decision to have kids?
Yes, I did. That was one of the biggest things with me. So I went through genetic counseling. My daughter is 12 years old, so I was a young adult. I was 25 when I had her. But I did make sure that my partner did not have sickle cell disease or trait. Both of my parents had trait. They did not know. My sister has nothing. She doesn't have the trait. I have the disease. So it's that 25% chance. As far as when I got remarried, before I got remarried, it was kind of a requirement for dating anybody. You go get tested and make sure you don't have the trait. Because if we decide to have children, I want to make sure we don't have a child with sickle cell. So that has always been a very important part of my life. And my daughter knows as well. She has the trait. And she knows that as she grows up, that's something that she needs to make sure when you're looking for an apartment, make sure that they don't have checks.
Yeah, these are things that, you know, you would think you wouldn't have to think about, but, you know, it is. It's unfortunately so complex and, you know, such a debilitating illness sometimes that you want to make sure you protect your loved ones. Dr. Bari and Amariam, how can people find more information about the Sickle Cell Disease Association and the NESCI at UConn?
Well, you can go to sicklecellspeaks.com to learn more about sickle cell disease and how to manage it. And then for general information about sickle cell and resources in your community, you can go to the National Sickle Cell Disease Association of America website at sicklecelldisease.org.
Wow. Well, we'll thank both of you so much. Can't wait to have you back. And, you know, good luck with everything. And thanks again for coming on. We really appreciate it.
Thank you for having us.
All right, guys, don't go away. 1-877-DOC-DALI, 1-877-DOC-DALI.
The stress levels of Americans may be at an all-time high. from education to business to basic needs to politics. The 2020 pandemic-related stressors are pushing many of us to near breaking point. That's why you should consider the stress and pain-relieving products from sunny-bay.com, like our lavender neck wraps and pads infused with premium Washington lavender buds. They relieve tension and relax with a soothing scent of lavender. And lifestyle expert Jennifer Bonner recommends products from Sunny Bay.
Sunny Bay's hands-free neck wrap should be your go-to pain relief solution.
Give gifts to family and friends that relieve stress and pain. Give love and care by giving the best. Give pillows, neck wraps, and body wraps from sunny-bay.com, a Biomed DB design company. Just click sunny-bay.com. That's sunny-bay.com.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
The Senate impeachment trial of former President Donald Trump has taken an unexpected turn. They voted to consider witness testimony. That followed a request from the lead impeachment manager, Jamie Raskin. He said they want to hear from a Republican member of Congress.
We would like the opportunity to subpoena Congresswoman Herrera regarding her communications with House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy and to subpoena her contemporaneous notes that she made regarding what President Trump told Kevin McCarthy in the middle of the insurrection.
That would be Republican Congresswoman Jamie Herrera Butler from Washington, who voted to impeach Trump. The former president's lawyer, Michael Vanderveen, said,
I'm going to need at least over 100 depositions, not just one.
This is USA Radio News. There are now calls for the governor of New York to resign after his top aide admitted they withheld information about the number of coronavirus deaths among nursing home patients. Secretary to the governor, Melissa DeRosa, was on a call with the legislators this week. She said the Cuomo administration panicked over worries the actual number of nursing home deaths was going to be, quote, used against us after the Federal Department of Justice demanded the information. Recently, the state was forced to admit the death toll was 15,000, nearly double what had been reported. In January, Governor Cuomo was trying to defend the lower numbers.
It's not about pointing fingers or blame. It's that this became a political football.
He also said,
whether a person died in a hospital or died in a nursing home, it's the people died.
Republicans are accusing the governor of a cover-up and want him to resign. You're listening to USA Radio News.
We've entered a time where sky truly is the limit and opportunity awaits. The Internet has become a platform of everyone's worldwide communications. Billionaires building businesses on platforms that didn't even exist a generation ago. But in the sea of noise, how can the voice of your business be heard? The secret is over 100 years old. Radio. 228% more effective than TV. That's 228% more effective than television. Brick and mortar and cyber businesses alike have found radio to be the most effective for building a brand and delivering customers. Learn the secrets of radio advertising by calling 877-996-4327 or email advertise@gcnlive.com. That's advertise@gcnlive.com.
Back on the Dr. Dolly Show. Thank you all for tuning in. 1-877-DOC-DOLLY. 1-877-DOCDALI. So February is Heart Health Awareness Month. So we talk a lot about the heart, not only about love, but about heart disease. And heart disease kills one person every 36 seconds in the United States. And as we try to change this horrifying statistic by watching our blood pressure and diabetes and our weight, decreasing stress, quitting smoking, getting our checkups, we need to also focus on kids, because heart disease many times can begin in the pediatric population. So joining us today is Dr. Jonathan Chen, Chief of Cardiothoracic Surgery in the Cardiac Center at Children's Hospital in Philadelphia. Dr. Chen, thank you so much for joining us.
Sure, thanks for having me on the show.
So, wow, look at this statistic. One in every 120 babies in the U.S. is born with heart disease. Wow, why so high?
Well, it's actually always been that high. We generally say about 1% of the population is born with heart problems like that. Now, mind you, a lot of these will be benign heart problems that will not require an intervention over the child and then adult's lifetime. But probably a full 25% of those kids will require some intervention, catheter-based or surgery, in the first, you know, hours to months of life. It's the most common birth defect. It's much, much more common than, say, childhood cancer. It's just, I think people maybe don't know that about it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And, you know, God bless you for what you do. When I was in training, I wanted to be a cardiovascular surgeon or a cardiothoracic surgeon, but I was not going to take the step to do pediatric. I just thought that was going to be unbelievably much more difficult. And so it's amazing that you've done the training that you have, especially with being able to work with the little wee ones. Now, what are some of the more common cardiac issues that you see in the pediatric population?
Well, you know, the most common cardiac congenital problem is what we call a ventricular septal defect, so a hole in the downstairs chamber of the heart. Now, many of your listeners will either themselves have had children or know of children who they say they had a hole in the heart to close. Mm-hmm. And so there's a lot of those will close over time. We at the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia see a somewhat disproportionate number of complex newborns, and a lot of that is the draw of the hospital. In particular, there's a place called the Special Delivery Unit, which was the first of its kind in the United States, where healthy mothers who have babies who have significant problems, not just heart problems, but other problems as well, can deliver in the Children's Hospital. And so there's a whole, you know, faculty of obstetricians and neonatologists and so forth who are at the ready. So we tend here to see a somewhat unusual distribution of heart disease, because we tend to err toward the more complex newborns, actually more so than any other large children's hospital in the country. But it sort of runs the gamut. There's lots of outside of the newborn period, there are very typical sort of holes in the heart. There are vascular malformations that we will attend to. And in truth, a lot of the adolescent and teenager operations that we do sometimes are related to or subsequent to prior repairs that were done in infancy.
Absolutely. What do you believe is the cause of, and I know it's very difficult because you see a wide gamut of issues, but besides, you know, genetic or, you know, mishap, what do you see might be something that we could intervene on during pregnancy or prior to becoming pregnant? Do you see there's any interventions we could do from a health standpoint to prevent some of these congenital heart defects?
Prevent, I don't know. You know, we sort of assume that most of them are genetic, in the sense that, you know, brown hair and blue eyes are genetic. There's not really a typical link to one gene, for example. And we perform very, very rarely, but we will perform a fetal cardiac intervention. And that can be, again, either catheter-based, or sometimes we will perform surgery on the fetus. So, for example, we're the first in the country to perform a resection of what's called teratoma. So it's a benign malignancy inside the chest cavity in the fetus, where as it grows, it takes up too much space and starts to squash all the structures. That would be fatal to the fetus. And so what we can do is actually, while the mother's still pregnant, open the womb, open the fetus's chest, resect the tumor, close, and the mother carries the baby to term now without the risk of having that compression from the tumor. It's pretty rare, but we certainly can do that.
That's fantastic. We're speaking to Dr. Jonathan Chen, Chief of Cardiothoracic Surgery at the Cardiac Center at Children's Hospital of Philadelphia. How many heart surgeries, roughly, do you perform a year?
Our group performs about 1,000 cases a year. We're a six-surgeon group. And that, you know, we're one of the probably top three busiest cardiac programs in the country. The cardiac center itself is massive. It has about 1,000 people in it, 90-something cardiologists, you know, every subspecialist you could imagine. And I feel very fortunate to have these, you know, very smart subspecialists around me, because there's really there's no shortage of just smart and expertise.
I've been sending my medical students to audition at CHOP because it's, you know, those interested in pediatrics and pediatric surgery, the, you know, gamut of pathology you see over there, it's probably one of the best training institutions, not only in the country, in the world. So it's fantastic what you and your team do. What's also amazing and fantastic is children with cardiac congenital heart disease used to not make it past childhood. Now, what is the percentage? 85%. Right, can live at least into the adulthood.
Yeah. Right, and they're living, you know, with good quality of life into there too. And what you may or may not know is that there's the current statistic is that there's more adults alive with repaired and unrepaired congenital heart disease as there are children. And that point of inflection is relatively recent. That, you know, as a quote victim of our own success, the children are living longer. You know, these are kids who might not have made it out of infancy are now adults. And so now our challenge is that we have to train that that new specialty of adult congenital heart specialists who have, you know, facility with both the congenital pediatric world and with the adult cardiology world, because we'll need people who can take care of these folks as they grow older.
Mm-hmm. You know, and also, it might be a little challenging with telemedicine. You know, I'm getting many patients where, you know, parents are calling saying, yeah, my child's missed their vaccines. You know, they haven't had their checkups. And sometimes congenital heart disease isn't always found in the newborn phase. Sometimes you can pick things up later. What are some of the signs that you recommend parents be on the lookout for?
Usually they're things that were picked up by pediatricians, to be honest. You know, a heart murmur is probably one of the most classic that we'll find. Sometimes, in rare instances, heart failure can present later, so in childhood. And that's kind of the typical heart failure symptoms, shortness of breath and, you know, lack of energy. Now, mind you, there's 100 other reasons for children who don't have heart disease to be short of breath and have less energy. Some of it's just being a teenager, for example. But there are certainly could be on the lookout of unusual things. And again, you know, if there's anything to emphasize in this Heart Awareness Month is that, you know, heart disease is not uncommon. And so being, you know, informed about the possibility that's out there is important, and bring that up to the pediatrician. There's, you know, in this area, there are so many talented pediatric cardiologists who can help either put fears at rest or help diagnose things should there be a concern.
Exactly, yes. And that's, like I said, a concern we have with telemedicine is parents are not going into the pediatrician. They're using telemedicine, and we just don't have the technology where we can listen to the hearts and pick up on these murmurs. So, you know, keep up on those vaccines, keep up on those visits, so at least the pediatrician can take a look and do proper screening. Dr. Chen, how can people find more information about you and the Cardiac Center at Children's Hospital of Philly?
Well, a good starting point is our website, which is heart.chop.edu. And that's a nice portal for all sorts of information. It can lead you to other websites also. It gives links to the Cardiac Center if people would like to hear more about it or actually be seen by the group. And then also, not to be discounted for your audience, is that for the parents of kids who have specific heart problems, there's actually a wealth of family support groups and that they can find on the Internet that can be, you know, they aggregate a lot of the information there, and that can actually be very informative for them.
Fantastic. Dr. Chen, thank you so much. Can't wait to have you back. Thank you for all you do.
Sure. Thanks for having me on the show.
All right, guys, don't go away. We'll be right back. 1-877-DUCKED-OUT.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs Generator and Lung Delivery System at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Hi guys, Dr. Dahlia here. How many of you have kids or grandkids or students who have boo-boos? We all do. And sometimes we need to take care of the cut, the fever, the burn, the tummy ache before we get to a medical provider. Well, me and other physicians have created an easy guide called The Art of the Boo-Boo. The Art of the Boo-Boo helps you with easy bite-sized chapters and guides you through the most common issues infants and kids face. Get it on Amazon or on my website at drdahlia.com at a very low price. Give it to your teacher or family as gifts. The Art of the Boo-Boo. We make it easy. Hey guys, gals. Dr. Dahlia here. How many of you have just become single and it's been years since you've dated? Well, you need to be careful out there as there's a lot of pitfalls and scams. But there's also true love. So I recommend reading our Baby Boomer's Guide to Online Dating. We'll give you the scoop on scammers, STDs, and what makes the best first date. Go to my website at drdahlia.com and click on the Baby Boomer's Guide to Online Dating. That's drdahlia.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. TCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day. But supplies are limited. Purchase nano-colloidal silver now at ImmuneSupportNow.com. That's ImmuneSupportNow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
February is Heart Month. Every year for the month of February, to show our appreciation to Extendivite's faithful customers, we have a sale. If you would like to try Extendivite, now is the time to get a few months ahead and really give Extendivite the time to show you how it works. Most of Extendivite's long-term customers wait for this sale to stock up. People and doctors tell us about the unbelievable improvements that they have experienced in their overall health, not just the heart. Extendivite wants you to experience the power of these herbs. Get a four-month supply for only $115 for either the capsules or tincture. Please take advantage of this once-per-year sale and get healthy for life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Dr. Dahlia's show, 1-877-DOC-DALI, 1-877-DOC-DALI. So this morning there was a lot of buzz, even though this kind of happened a while ago, where Mark Cuban, owner of the Dallas Mavericks, had apparently made a decision to cancel the national anthem. This is probably one of the first teams, right, in all of sports to actually cancel the national anthem. Now, Colin Kaepernick had started the ritual of kneeling during the national anthem as he was trying to protest police brutality and deaths in police custody. And then the kneeling and the enthusiasm for the national anthem seemed to fall along party lines, where people who didn't support Trump might have kneeled or might not have stood, those who did. And then now, even though we have a Biden administration, the national anthem discussion and controversy still continues to now where Mark Cuban is saying, no, you know, your employer doesn't play it at work. Right? Or the way he worded it, he's not going to subject his players to the national anthem. Now, what he is taking on is years of tradition. And this is where the debate is going to ensue. And the future of the national anthem being played at sports is going to come back when we never thought it was an issue. This was just something we did. In fact, I think the national anthem became our national anthem in the early 30s, but it was played at games before then. I believe it was played in baseball games in the late 1800s. So the national anthem existed, but it wasn't taken as our anthem, I believe, until the 30s. And we started to play it. We played it more after World War One. We utilized it a lot more after World War Two because there was a lot of pride. And, you know, we were in a couple World Wars. And, you know, whenever there's a fight or there's a challenge, you know, people start to group together and show their nation's pride. And so the national anthem being played at sporting events is something that has been done globally now for decades. Well, people are bringing it up, whether it's now obsolete, and if it should still continue. And this is really getting a bunch of people's panties all up in a bunch. And I get a little nervous about this being the topic of the day, because I think we have a lot of bigger, we have bigger fish to fry. I mean, we have, you know, we have COVID, we have, you know, the impeachment trial, we have, you know, government spending, we have inflation, we have prices going up, we have still high unemployment, and I get very nervous that the bad people or people that hate America that want to see us fall are sitting there on the sidelines watching us have arguments over playing our national anthem. And we look very septated, fragmented. We don't look very unified. Now, we've had elections that have, you know, torn us. That's, elections do that. But we're coming out of an election year. We have a new president. We're supposed to have some optimism when it comes to the vaccines and the pandemic and getting our country back. But the division is still there. And that's, you know, perpetuated, you know, daily. You know, in the media, I think people like a divided country. It makes headlines, it makes noise, it makes people choose a side and pick a network. But, you know, we've been very, very fortunate not to have any serious terrorist attacks from foreign entities over the last few years. And I believe it might have been because they felt like, you know, they couldn't get to us. And once you see a country, right, dividing and starting to dissolve like we do, I think we're very vulnerable. Now, if it's not going to be the national anthem, then what should it be? I mean, we've seen protesters burn our flag. We've seen protesters say they, you know, hate America. We've seen people on both sides, all right, say they hate our current president. I mean, when you saw Antifa riot in Portland just a couple weeks ago, you know, what is it that everybody wants? And mind you, there's always going to be dissenters. There's always going to be people that don't like the current government. But it seems to me that once you start to forego the national anthem, and the reason why we play the national anthem in during sports and all that is to kind of remind us that even though we are about to beat the living crap out of each other, hey, on the field or on the court, or maybe even in the stands, we're still united. We're Americans. We're America first. And I'm wondering if maybe we got to this point because we haven't been in a major world war. Not that I want us to ever do that, but, you know, our shall we say, piousness for nationalism, our enthusiasm to be, you know, Americans and to be a country. We had that, you know, USA, we had red, white, and blue all over the place. And, you know, during World War II and during the post-World War II, we were really proud to be American. You don't hear people say we're proud to be American. If we want to buy American, if we want to enjoy the freedoms that America gives us, you have to, you know, appreciate what you have, and you have to appreciate, you know, what the country is doing. And, well, if you don't like your leader, and if you don't like, you know, how the leader was elected, if you don't like, you know, how your former leader was treated, we just keep brewing this not my country, not my president sentiment. And, you know, I've been arguing for years how, you know, we got to be America first. We got to unite. You know, our enemies are watching us. Our enemies are waiting. The best time to strike is when you're not unified, when you're at each other's throat. And who knows, maybe that's why September 11th happened when it did. It was right after the election between Gore, maybe not right after, but, you know, maybe they saw what happened with Gore and Bush, and they decided, you know what? Let's do it. I don't know. I think people would love to see America wiped off the face of the earth. And so, you know, I'm not blaming Mark Cuban or the Dallas Mavericks or their decision. But if people are saying, look, the national anthem doesn't jive with us anymore. And, you know, whether you don't want to stand for it because of, you know, our current president or because of our prior president or because of police or whatever you're choosing to not stand for the national anthem, does that mean the anthem needs to be canceled? And then if the national anthem does get canceled, what does America use for pride? Well, you would think the American flag. When you see the American flag, you would think that that would be, you know, a symbol of America. It started to change. In the past few years, people with an American flag had been, you know, accused of being on the right. People without the American flag accused of being on the left. So is that where the American flag is going? The American flag is only representing half the population? Okay, that doesn't make sense. Now, mind you, we're in a democracy. We want to hear from everybody. We want to, you know, change things that need to be changed. We want to progress. But we are going to probably be one of the first countries to start to cancel our own national anthem. And if that's the case, are we moving towards, you know, a divide? Are we moving towards a civil war? Are we moving towards, you know what, we're not going to be one unified country? You know, people in Germany are proud of being German. People in France are proud of being French. People in England are proud of, you know, being a part of the UK. People in Russia, same thing. So I don't know how much longer this is going to be a mild issue and, you know, soft until this starts to progress in a way that I think is kind of going wrong. So that's just my opinion. You know, I get that we don't play the national anthem at work. I get that. But, you know, what are we going to use for unity for this country? And if we don't have that, what does that tell our enemies? It tells them to strike. 1-877-DOLLY, no more.
Times are certainly uncertain. In fact, the return of food shortages is likely. Don't take chances. Make the decision to acquire a dependable supply of long-lasting emergency food. Food that lasts for up to 25 years in storage, ready the moment you need it. There's an old saying, failing to plan means planning to fail. Don't wait for the next crisis. Have a 3-month, 6-month, or even 1-year supply of food on hand. It's easy and affordable. We're My Patriot Supply, America's leader in emergency preparedness. We've served millions of folks like you for over a decade, and our mission is your survival. Our meals are delicious and provide you with 2,000 calories a day, and our kits arrive quickly and discreetly at your doorstep. Visit MyPatriotSupply.com and feast your eyes on the food that could save your life someday. That's MyPatriotSupply.com. Take the pressure off yourself. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and face the future without regrets.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Introducing Reveal from GCNLife.com. Beverly Hills dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman invented Reveal, which contains polypeptides with natural botanicals and no parabens, sulfates, silicones, or dyes for a salon-quality hair growth product, Reveal. Here's Dr. Newman.
I've treated a lot of patients who lose their hair and they lose their confidence. We've created a unique set of polypeptides, which we call HPT6. The HPT6 contains the polypeptides from six different plants. The scalp infusion treatment should be used on wet or dry scalp. The Reveal hair care system is designed to be used for men and women alike.
Get Reveal at GCNLife.com with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So try Reveal today at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637. Plus a discount up to 25% off for Reveal at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.